Well, visiting with Iowa High School Athletic Association Assistant Director Todd Tharp to talk about the upcoming basketball season for Iowa High School Athletics. Todd, thanks for visiting with me today. If you want to, we can start off our conversation talking a little bit about some rule changes that went into place last season, such as, getting rid of the one and ones, and it's been a little bit now, but the shot clock also, if you could talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, well, first off, like I said, thank you for letting me have an opportunity to speak to your listeners, and thank you for everything that you do with your listeners there and with high school basketball and everything else that you cover. So I appreciate that very much. Yeah, the first one last year, probably the biggest one, was the change going from our bonus of 1-1 after 7 free throw after 7 fouls, 1-1 make one, get the second one, and then at 10 fouls going to 2 shots. So where last year after the fifth on the fifth foul, a team shot 2 free throws, and then that reset after each quarter. So that was a big change for all of our schools, both the boys and the girls, and for the most part, I think it was pretty successful. I did kind of have some concerns going into it, but I think it, our officials and our coaches handled it very well. I think it cleaned up a lot of things in the lane area to where we didn't have a whole lot of maybe unnecessary contact that was occurring. So I think that one went very, very well. Yeah, the shot clock, continues to be successful for us. Again, we went in saying we didn't think it was going to, we weren't going to have these up and down games because of it. But I think our schools are getting comfortable with it at that level, at the varsity level. I think it's still educational for our coaches, to keep learning. So I still think it's a very, very good move that we made as we continue on here with it. So.
Well, Todd, going into this season, can you maybe highlight, a few rule changes that are going to take place for the 2024-2025 season?
Yeah, probably the biggest thing that maybe our fans are going to see, and I hope we don't see it very often, but at the professional level, if you're watching your NBA games and your NCAA games, you see maybe a lot of a flopping that goes on, to where maybe an offensive player might fake a head bob, or a defensive player who's going to be taking a charge might fall backwards to take a charge, or over exaggerate maybe when a player in the paint or whatever might bump into him and he'll go flopping and flying out for the most part. Well, the high school has now put that into their rules for the most part. So you might see a first thing will be if that occurs for an offensive player who has control of the ball and they kind of do a little head bob or something to fake physical contact, they're going to get a warning for that. And then you'll see our officials will kind of do the new signal where they'll kind of stick their arms out in front of them and kind of raise them up from about their waist up to maybe their mid-chest regions to show that that's a warning for flopping. If it happens a second time, whether it be an offensive or defensive flopping, then it will go against as a team technical foul. So the opponents of the team will then get 2 free throws, and then they will get the ball out of bounds on the alternating possession. So trying just to clean that part up from the game. So, I hope it, like I said, it doesn't happen very often, but at least there are now some protocols, procedures in place for our officials and our schools if it does take place.
Me being an official myself, do you feel that that's going to be, a little bit of a learning curve for some officials trying to determine, what exactly would classify as flopping? Or do you feel that, it's one of those things that if it's clear enough, it should be called?
Yeah, I think, our officials, we'll understand, because I've tried to share some information, of what the definition of shared information with you guys as officials for the most part. I think, in the past, I mean, there was always a rule in there, but the initial rule was a technical foul. And to be quite honest, probably a lot of officials were probably apprehensive about wanting to call that, because maybe they thought that the consequence was too harsh to have it, immediately be a technical foul. So now there's that warning, that goes in, as well. So, we've shared it with our coaches, over the last 3 or 4 weeks. I've been talking to our coaches about it. I know girls' practice starts today, boys' practice starts next week. So hopefully, with the information that we've given our coaches, that they will, be educating their players, hey, don't do this. This is, going to be a warning, a possible technical foul. So hopefully they'll give them education too. And again, our officials too, good game managers, hopefully, like I said, they'll see it, and it'll be pretty obvious when they do call it for the most part.
Yeah, and also I know too that there's certain points of emphasis, that are focused on from season to season. Can you talk about if there is any things that you guys want to focus on this season in terms of whether that be sportsmanship, whether that be rules, or whatever that may be?
Well, I think a lot of the points of emphasis here really do focus on the faking being fouled. So I think that's a big part of things that they're wanting to work on. Another thing too, I think another point of emphasis is just working with our officials and our schools regarding, any type of bodily fluid, particularly blood on a uniform, of trying to, again, be more consistent with how officials handle that situation. If there is some blood on the uniform, we've kind of stepped back and we've given the proper protocol of what the officials are supposed to do. They first notify the coach and the player that there's some blood on the uniform. That might give them a couple of seconds to get cleaned up, and then they're going to go over to the bench, and they're going to then give an official's timeout, and they're going to give them then 20 seconds to try and get that, that blood, so that it isn't as bad as maybe it was in the first place for the most part. So just maybe some consistency from game to game about how blood is being handled on the uniform. And then again, too, I think the other point of it is, again, there's another delay warning for a delay for teams. We've got them if they huddle up during a free throw. There's now a new one about not giving the official the ball immediately after a dead ball. So again, we have lots where we kind of maybe we'll have players that they might get called for travel, and they'll kind of hold the ball in their hand and kind of do a shake or a shug, or like, hey, what did I do? Or they'll just kind of drop the ball on the ground instead of handing it to the nearest official. So again, a little bit more dealing with behavior of our teams out there and proper behavior of getting the ball to an official as quickly as they can so that we can, move forward with the next out of bounds spot. So.
Yeah. And was there much, can you talk maybe just briefly about what the rationale was? I know that now teams can have a logo on the front of their jersey instead of just a name or lettering. Can you kind of talk about what went into that decision?
Yeah, I think something that I think came down from the NCAAs to where, instead of, putting, for Iowa, instead of putting Iowa across there, they could put the Tiger Hawk. So again, if a school wants to put their Bulldog mascot on there, and instead of saying the word Bulldogs, or instead of saying, Algona, whoever it might be, that they now can put their logo on there. So I think it just adds another opportunity, for our schools to represent themselves with that. So unfortunately, we did have a handful of schools that, did have an illegal uniform for a year because they'd already put it on there. But now, again, it allows other schools as they go forward. And we really encourage our ADs and our coaches, if they're going to be purchasing uniforms, to send them to me so that I can give them approval. So, again, they don't spend, $1,500 or $1,600 on some uniforms and not be able to use them because, they're going to get a technical foul each time that they wear those uniforms. So I just think it provides schools more opportunities to, enhance their school and show their school logos and colors.
Well, Todd, Jenna, before we close, any final thoughts from your end in your role ahead of this upcoming basketball season?
I'm as always looking forward to it. Basketball, like I said, a great sport. First of all, I'm anxious, like I said, for, this will now be our third year with the shot clock. So, after this year, we might be looking at some possible, tweaks. Like I said, that's one thing with the shot clock too that we're doing this year is you will maybe notice that because we have adopted the shot clock is that the dribbling 5-second count is now going to be eliminated. So if when they're in the front court and if a point guard just wants to dribble the ball out there, even though he might be closely guarded, we're not going to do that 5-second count. If he holds it, we will, but if he's just dribbling, we're not going to call that violation anymore. So I think our officials and our coaches will really like that part of things. And again, as we look forward, down the line with the shot clock, maybe we'll look at a different type of a reset for that as we keep examining, do they need a full reset? Can we change it back maybe to a 25 instead of the 35? Maybe looking at some of those things, in the next year or two here.
Well, thanks, Todd. I appreciate your time visiting with me and, looking forward to this upcoming season.
Absolutely. Thank you again very much. I appreciate it.